Our scripture reading for this afternoon is in the letter of 2 Peter, as we're going through this little booklet together. The second chapter, 2 Peter chapter 2. And we'll read the whole chapter, and the sermon will be drawn from the whole chapter under the theme, Gospel Words About False Teachers, Their Presence, Their Ways, and Their Punishment. Hear the word of the Lord, 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that are that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb donkey speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So far the scriptures, the reading of God's holy word. May God bless just the reading of this and give strength in opening this chapter, which speaks serious words for us, as we will hear. Going on in our little series on the letter of 2 Peter, we come now to chapter 2, where we meet with strong words from the Apostle Peter in regards to false teachers. how we need to watch out for them. And always to ask ourselves as well, am I maybe falling to false teaching myself? And not only that, but actually myself giving and promoting false teaching to others. Let no one here be beyond asking ourselves these questions. Peter spends a whole chapter on the danger of false teachers out of hearty pastoral care in Jesus' name. As an under-shepherd for the scattered flock of Christ's church in his day, Peter writes earnestly and directly about the constant threat of false teachers and to be oh so careful and watchful and humble and diligent in God's ways according to his word always. It's interesting to observe the link from chapter 1 to chapter 2. In the closing verses of chapter 1, remember, Peter spoke so highly of God's inspired and infallible word, directing us into all the truth. For, he says, in the last verse of that chapter, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, carried along by the Holy Spirit. But we know that those same Old Testament scriptures, inspired by God, include many accounts of false prophets infecting the Old Testament covenant people of God, bringing false teaching and leading the people astray, even to their eternal destruction. And Peter then begins to write about this further in this second chapter. He makes clear, as there were false prophets in old times, there are false teachers in the present day and in all times, as long as the world will be. There shall be false teachers among you, who privily, that is, secretly and subtly, shall bring in damnable heresies, and many shall follow their pernicious or licentious ways, he writes in verse 1 and 2. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, here in Calgary, in the 21st century, if we know what is good for us and our children and for our church and city and country, we must listen to this chapter of 2 Peter. Will you pay close attention to it with me as we study this chapter now under the theme, Gospel Words About False Teachers, Their Presence, Their Ways, and Their Punishment. The theme, as we have it, reflects also Peter's burden as a pastor to the congregations. He didn't want to see any of them snowed under by the false teachers. And so he wanted the Christians in his day and for all time to know and to realize, staying close to the Lord and his word, we shall not only be preserved then as God's people, but in that way only be a gospel blessing and power in our and all generations. As the apostle says in verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Yes, praise God. And to deliver and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Gospel words about false teachers. And I encourage you to have your Bibles open as we go through this passage, this chapter. Their presence, their ways, and their punishment. With our first point about their presence, it is good that we stop a moment to take in this solemn reality. Not only does Peter warn us that there shall be false teachers among you, literally in you, who privily, slyly shall bring in damnable heresies, but he says, in addition to this, we find this actually stated all through Scripture. That this teaching that Peter has given, you find it throughout the Bible, in the New Testament. And it makes sense. For as long as history continues, we have to contend with who? With Satan, the devil. And though a once for all defeated foe, surely after Jesus' triumphant death and resurrection, a savior of sinners. Nevertheless, Satan is called Apollyon, meaning destroyer. And he is still a most relentless enemy of God and of Christ and his church and of the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. Just read Revelation 12 to know this for certain. We confess thus also in our Belgian confession that, quote, the devils and evil spirits are so depraved that they are enemies of God and every good thing, and that they, to the utmost of their power, as murderers, are watching and working to ruin the church and every member thereof, and by their wicked stratagems to destroy all. And you know, Peter knew this deceptive and destructive power of Satan. He knew it from personal experience. So he also has written, didn't he, in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And now a key tool and strategy that Satan uses to disturb and divide and destroy the church is to bring in false teachers into the church and to lead the church astray through false teachings and false ministries. And this is a matter we are forewarned about often in the Bible. Not only does Peter here in our text passage spend a whole chapter on this subject in a small 3-chapter book, but consider Jesus' words and Paul's words and Jude's words, and John's words about this matter as well. We read Jesus saying in Matthew 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. In John 10, likewise, when Jesus speaks of himself as a good shepherd of his sheep, he tells then also of many under-shepherds who are as thieves and robbers, who come to steal and to kill and to destroy, who care not for the sheep at all, but only for themselves. And how often doesn't Paul address this same matter? He confronts false teachers in almost every one of his letters. And in Acts 20, verse 28 to 30, we have also those stirring, parting words of Paul to the elders of the church in Ephesus. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, says Paul, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves, he says, shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch. 2 Timothy 4, as Brother Guy read, part of Paul's final words, he warns about people no longer enduring sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, heaping to themselves teachers, having itching ears, always yearning for trendy novelties, who shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So also in Titus 1, verse 10 and following, Paul warns about many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses or families, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake, meaning for shameful gain and personal profit. In Philippians 3:18, Paul also speaks with weeping of many professing Christians, even leading church people, quote, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly, who mind earthly things. In 1 John 4, verse 1, the Apostle John exhorts similarly, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try, that is, test and discern the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Jude writes along with 2 Peter, urging that we must earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why? Because, he says in verse 4 of this 1-chapter book, there are certain men crept in unawares, ungodly men, turning the grace of God unto lasciviousness, that is, immoral licentiousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, many more such like warning words about false prophets, false teachers creeping in the church, and having their say and their sway could be mentioned. But haven't I given enough to have you and me say before God and each other, wow, this is a real threat, isn't it? We surely always better be on our toes and be diligent for the truth that was once for all delivered and be very discerning of the spirits of our age. I wonder, dear congregation, how much does your life and mine reflect? We are living with this sense of awareness and alertness and carefulness and humility in regards to the danger of false teaching and false ministries. Isn't it a fact that in many ways the Christian church of the 21st century is negligent and unmindful and too easygoing with the ever-present dangerous reality of false teachers lurking about? How much are we girding our minds and warming our hearts with God's word day by day and with the truths and doctrines once for all delivered to the saints, as also summarized in the Reformed confessions? Why can we be so into the world and its pleasures, but so slow and sluggish to be in the word and its treasures? Peter, along with Paul, will teach us we can stand, oh yes, and we can overcome no matter what false teachers may come against us from within the church or outside the church, but we can never stand in our own strengths. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Are you and I consciously, humbly, prayerfully, steadfastly putting on the whole armor of God and His word each day? How can we survive individually and as families and as Christian congregation otherwise? Let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. This is our first point in connection with 2 Peter 2. Here are gospel words from the Apostle Peter about false teachers. Are we paying close attention to the reality of their presence, the presence of false teachers? Let's not live and act as if we have nothing to be concerned about when the facts are, all through church history, there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. We need to be alarmed about this and awakened to this and alert for this danger all the time. Will you take this to heart now to each one here? But that question can bring us to our second point. For Peter tells us not only of the presence of false teachers, but of their ways. He helps us, in other words, by the Spirit's leading, thank God, in learning how to identify false teachers and their pernicious ways. In this second chapter, the apostle gives us a whole number of characteristics and descriptions of what so many false teachers are like. By your fruits. By their fruits you shall know them, Jesus said, indeed. So here again, let's pay attention to what Peter all says about these false teachers who time and again do plague and pester and trouble the faithful church and all God's true people. Let me mention here from the chapter at least seven descriptions of false teachers. For one, as Peter says in verse 1, they deny the Lord that bought them. We can say a whole lot about this, but it amounts to Peter saying false teachers, in one way or another, minimize and discount and discredit Jesus Christ and Him crucified as the one means of our salvation from start to finish. Whereas Paul and all the apostles, they would boast about nothing and no one except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, these false teachers, and false teachers in general, little consider the cross of Jesus and our salvation through His precious blood. They don't see Jesus' person as mediator and his once-for-all sacrifice on Golgotha as something all that important. Certainly not something we have to mention and come back to again and again and again. False teachers have many other things that they bring up, maybe alongside of the gospel, but as much more important than the cross of Jesus. Listen, dear congregation, when any professing Christian, whether only as a member of the church or as a Christian leader, isn't consumed with and all intent on the glorious person and finished work of Jesus Christ as crucified and risen Savior, seeing that as front and center of the gospel, beware of him or her. As we confess, also in the Belgian Confession, Article 21, God's true people find all manner of consolation in Christ, his wounds, even to the death of the cross. And they confess with a passion, it is never necessary to seek or invent any other means of being reconciled to God than this only sacrifice once offered by which believers are made perfect forever. In Belgian Confession, Article 29, we also confess about God's true people that, quote, through the Spirit all the days of their life, they are continually taking refuge in the blood, death, passion, and obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom they have remission of sin through faith in him. Oh, dear congregation, watch out for false teachers promoting a fake Christianity and a warped gospel where Jesus and him crucified isn't the center and the heartbeat of the message time and time again. This point by itself surely can help us identify a lot of false teachers, literally pseudo-Christian teachers in our times today. Beware of those for whom the greatest and highest work of God, namely the redemption through the blood of Christ for sinners, is negated and minimized and sidelined. Beware of such. Secondly, notice Peter describes the false teachers as being covetous people. Verse 3. Speaking smoothly and slyly with the purpose for what? To gain merchandise for themselves from them. False teachers are looking always for gain and fame for themselves in whatever they promote. And they are not after the honor of God above all and the true and eternal well-being of others. No, they are men pleasers saying what people like to hear so to gain a following for themselves and a healthy bank account as well. As Peter says in verse 14 about false teachers, an heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Literally, you could almost translate the verse, they have trained and are training themselves for being covetous. And they're practicing and they're planning strategies and ways to be covetous and gain on others and from others. And so false teachers won't to turn from the all-time, old-time truth, nor to compromise it or to syncretize it with other religions and ways of the world, all for selfish, ungodly gain. False teachers are impressed with themselves and they go all out to build a name and a following and an empire for themselves, developing schemes and strategies for their goals. And to help us clearly see this characteristic of false teachers in their covetous ways, Peter reminds us of the Old Testament story of Balaam, as told in Numbers 22 to 24. Oh, what a wicked, smooth-talking shenanigan Balaam was. He pretended so much to be a prophet of God, but he was through and through a fraud, who, as Peter says in verse 15, Lotus, loved the wages of unrighteousness, and who was rebuked for his iniquity by God, even through the dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, forbidding the madness of the prophet, as we read. You know, while Balaam said, you can read it in Numbers 22 to 24, while he said he wanted to die with the righteous, you know what? He went and lived with the unrighteous, and he died among them too, as a self-serving, money-grabbing, very dangerous false prophet. Dear congregation, always watch out for money-seeking, self-seeking, earthly-minded, worldly-conforming people who confess to be Christians but who live covetous, worldly lives. God's true servants know themselves as strangers and as pilgrims on this earth. Oh, it is not so that a minister can never be rich. I know a minister that was a millionaire. But a true minister should never be out for earthly riches and be seeking for that. True ministers are not out for themselves, but for the service of God and His people. Spending themselves for their flock, for the well-being of their flock, rather than fleecing the flock for themselves. While every laborer is worthy of his hire as God ordained, yet no worthy minister of the gospel is out to gain profit from his people, but rather truly to be of profit to his people by gospel means, both for body and soul, for this life and the life to come. And again, the point is, this point by itself should surely help us to be discerning about many false teachers today out there with their smooth talk and their huge empires, however large or small. A third characteristic of false teachers is that they walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, as Peter puts it in verse 10. That is, with false teachers, very often they minimize the call to holiness of life. The law of God as a rule for life, for us to live by in humble devotion and gratitude to God, not to earn salvation, but in honor to God and in love to our neighbor. False teachers generally discount that law. False teachers negate not only justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, but they pervert the biblical teaching on sanctification as the Spirit-worked fruit of and goal of God's saving grace in our lives. In verse 13, Peter speaks of false teachers having pleasure in riotous living. They live in riot. It really means they live in debauchery. Indeed, says Peter, they're reveling in sinful ways, in partying and drinking in the daytime. You notice that he says that? In the daytime, they're just lazy gluttons and feasting on themselves and for themselves, sporting themselves, says Peter, in their own deceivings while they feast with you. The reference here might also be even to them celebrating Lord's Supper that way, while being drunk and not looking to Jesus at all, nor caring for the rest around the table, but just caring for themselves. Something like what Paul spoke about, you know, so sternly as happened in the church of Corinth, chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. False teachers, this is the point, time and again, try to promote the gospel that will get us to heaven while still being allowed to live in sin and lust and evil, no problem, here and now. That's what they promote in different ways. They teach a twisted gospel which promises Jesus as Savior without submitting to Him as Lord. How wrong and perverted such gospel teaching is. But yet, how common also in our day. How many churches promote this kind of Christianity? Sadly. Here, have Jesus as Savior. And never mind how you live, and don't have us involved in that either. Some churches act. What do the scriptures say? The Bible says clearly, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And he that has the hope of eternal life purifies himself, even as God is pure. What does the scripture say? We are to exhort one another in God's ways, by his law and gospel, while it's yet the day of grace. But false teachers, they don't refer to the scriptures so much. They don't go to God's word for guidance. No, they go instead by their own misguided, pernicious opinions and by what they know people like to hear. Notice how in verse 14, Peter also mentions about false teachers having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. See that? They live in corruption, Peter says in verse 12, and in verse 19 he says, they themselves are servants of corruption. Dear congregation, again, watch out for any so-called Christians and Christian leaders and teachings and ministries which discount the holy law and will of God and discredit and contradict the holy word of God. By the gospel of Jesus Christ, indeed, hallelujah, by grace through faith in him, sinners like us may truly and freely forever be delivered from the condemnation and judgment under the law. For Christ has fulfilled the law, praise God, in perfect obedience as sin bearer and savior of his people, even as he paid the full and just punishment for sin that we deserve when he suffered and died on the cross in the sinner's place. But Jesus in his saving work didn't come to destroy the law, but that his people might once again begin to live by the law in spirit and truth, in true love to God and true love to our neighbor. I say watch out for any tampering and twisting of the free and full gospel message by false teachers, either perverting our justification by Christ alone or negating our necessary sanctification through Christ in us by his Spirit and Word. When confessing Christians can tolerate any sin or shrug off or laugh off any inconsistency and contradiction in doctrine and life with that of God's holy word, we need to be so on guard against them. Such so-called Christians are not to be trusted, nor to be heard, and certainly not to be followed. They bring shame on the church and the true gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Such false teachers are, as Peter says in verse 13, spots and blemishes, by reason of whom, he says in verse 2, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Beloved, we want and need Christians and Christian leaders and teachers and ministries to bring us to know more and more what God's Holy Spirit, infallible, inspired scriptures have to teach us. We want and need to have proclaimed to us and pressed home to our minds and hearts more and more from out of the scriptures about the triune God of our salvation, as revealed in Jesus Christ, the risen, the crucified and risen triumphant Savior of sinners. Be wary of any and all teachers or preachers who won't time and again teach you from God's word about our desperate need of the Savior and what it means truly to believe in him and how we are called to live to his praise and to his honor in his service in love to God and our neighbor. When that is considered unimportant, and all kinds of seeker-sensitive novelties and worldly fads are taught instead, along with a whole lot of loose living allowed and never condemned as sin and sinful, be alarmed and be awakened. You are dealing with false teachers and pseudo-hypocritical, self-serving teachers, servants of Satan and not of God. Isn't Peter teaching us this in 2 Peter chapter 2? A fourth characteristic of false teachers is that they prey on the weak, beguiling, says Peter, unstable, you could translate unsteady souls, as he mentions in verse 14. Yes, with smooth talk, with feigned words, as Peter says in verse 3, literally with fabricated stories, lying deceit. False teachers go after the vulnerable, those young in the faith too, and those in some crises of life, and with devilish charisma, promising glamorous benefits, they entice and they enthrall and they ensnare their hearers, having them become devoted, not to God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, but devoted to them, the false teachers themselves, and to their projects and to their programs and into their practices and their pet desires and whatever. In Zephaniah 3 verse 4, the prophet Zephaniah speaks in God's name of the false prophets in his day, saying about them, among other things, quote, they were light and treacherous. You could almost translate light to they were reckless and treacherous. How terrible terrible to, in the name of God, try to gain a following for yourselves and being unethical and immoral in your ways with others to do so, whatever it takes to have people hear you and serve you. Peter brings out the wickedness and sadness of this all in our text chapter. Oh, in the Christian church, when it is well, there is no abuse of others ever, but an imploring to others and of one another always to live with a clear conscience before God and man in submission to all the teaching and manner of all of Scripture. Alas, how many false teachers and ministries in the history of the so-called Christian church to the present day have spoiled so much the true witness of the real gospel by their damnable heresies and their pernicious, lustful ways. Beware of anyone in the church out to take advantage of others in any way at all. It is so unchristlike, and it's most ungodly and very wicked indeed. A fifth characteristic of these false teachers is that they are, to put it bluntly, bumbling blabbermouths. Bumbling blabbermouths, speaking, as Peter says in verse 18, with great swelling words of vanity that amount to nothing. They're full of boastful, arrogant talk, mostly all about themselves and their grand ideas and plans and teachings, which all amount in the long run to a hill of beans. Their words are meaningless and powerless mantras, which shine like flashing, falling meteorites in the night sky and that bring no real change and no lasting help or light to anyone. Not for this life, nor for the one to come. And their smooth, eloquent words, these false teachers, by them they may promote liberty and promise liberty and who knows what all, but it's all empty hogwash in the end. In verse 17, Peter says about the words of false teachers, these are wells without water, clouds which are carried with a tempest or with a storm, meaning they're clouds that end up with no promise of rain, bringing no rain on the land and no water for the thirsty. You see, if our teaching is not grounded and founded on God's word alone, but more just on our own ideas or the world's passing flimsy opinions about whatever, it's not Christian teaching that is being passed on to us. We need truth, God's gospel truth with eternal substance. And you find it here in the Bible, but only in the Bible. Reliable truth proclaiming the exceeding and unsearchable riches of the one and only Savior of sinners and the endless blessings found in faith and fellowship with Him and following after Him. But false teachers, themselves not knowing the Savior in spirit and truth, will bring you everything but the truth. Beloved, we do well to stay clear of such false teachers and to abhor their ungodly, worldly, self-exalting, hopeless, deceitful teachings. And we need to remember with these false teachers to be discerning, not only in hearing what they say wrongly, but in listening to what they don't say truthfully. Another characteristic, the sixth now that Peter mentions about false teachers, is how they can be so quick to despise authority figures in society life, both in the civil realm and in the church. In verse 10, Peter tells us how the false teachers despise government and are presumptuous, they are self-willed and not afraid to speak evil of dignities of those in office. They are offensively arrogant, brazen, impolite, who also as brute beasts, says Peter in verse 12, speak evil of the things that they understand not. And in this context, Peter mentions how even the angels in heaven don't bring railing accusation, and you could translate that, the actual word in the Greek is blasphemous accusation against others. But they leave that judgment to the Lord. See Jude verse 8 to 10 to get this more clearly. But false teachers, Peter brings out here, they presume themselves to be authorities about everything and who, again, for their own gain and fame, won't hesitate to give their opinions and their condemnation of others, especially against the leaders of the land and of the church. They do so, again, to exalt themselves and to gain the applause of their followers for their own glory, you see. Whereas true Christian teachers and leaders have something more of the mindset and the attitude of John the Baptist, who said in reference to Christ, "He must increase, but I must decrease." We're not called to give all kinds of judgments about all kinds of things. God is judge. Even of the Lord Jesus, it said, "He came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Let God make the judgments. Yes, we need to be discerning. That's what this whole sermon is about. But it's not our calling to be judging everyone. In 2 Corinthians 2:17, the Apostle Paul testifies, "We are not as many who corrupt," literally, who peddle and deal deceitfully with the word of God. "But as of sincerity," but as of God, in the sight of God, "speak we in Christ." And you could also translate, "speak we of Christ." That's what faithful ministers are about, speaking of Christ. Not trying to make a name for themselves, speaking of whatever people like to hear. Then, still the last thing we want to note about false teachers that Peter brings out is that clearly they are not changed and truly converted, not heart-transformed people of God. Peter mentions this in the last verses of the chapter. These false prophets are like dogs which have gotten rid of corruption inside them through vomiting it up and out, but then they can't leave it alone. And they go back to it, sniffing it and licking it up again, their own vomit. Or they're like pigs. Yes, says Peter, washed on the outside, but then still pigs through and through, who go back to wallowing in the mud and the manure. These false teachers, in other words, Peter is telling us, have a form of religion, but without knowing the power thereof. And so they live, spreading false religion rather than teaching and promoting in word and deed the one and only gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They are like sick dogs and dirty pigs still. Not very complimentary, no. But that's God's description of false teachers. Well, just going over this in brief summary fashion, what Peter all says, something of the evil, hypocritical, deceitful, self-serving, pernicious ways of false teachers, do you see too why Peter is so concerned about their presence and influence? Peter is concerned, you see, to feed his master's sheep and to protect them, and he rightly exposes them and gives most earnest gospel warnings here against these false teachers in his times and in all times. False teachers who deny the Trinity, who discount sin and Christ as only Savior and Lord, and who twist the word to deceive and serve their own ends, and who care not for the sheep, but only for themselves, are everything the Savior is not. And they are enemies to Christ and His church. Are you discerning in the times in which we live, testing the spirits of the age, and examining all things in the light of God's word here, and being careful and watchful in regards to the many false teachers and prophets in our times too? What Peter says all about false teachers should really help make clear to us the false teachers in our day. I thought about mentioning some obvious false teachers today, but I won't list any. For studying now 2 Peter chapter 2, you should be able to discern for yourselves. Will you be discerning? Do you care even about this all-important matter? Shouldn't we care if we would be wise? I know many of you do care. And when we do care, by God's grace, you will agree, as the apostle also exhorts, how we need to be on guard for ourselves and for our families and for our country, that in the church we have faithful teachers and not false teachers. What are you and I doing to help promote this? What about prayer? study of God's Word and the Reformed confessions, and gaining knowledge of church history, and reading helpful Christian books to help us be sound in the faith and defenders of the faith. Let us care about these things and not be careless about this after all. In this connection, I read in a commentary the following statement that's quite convicting indeed. This commentator wrote, quote, "It does our generation little credit that such passion for truth and holiness as Peter exhibits in our text chapter strikes an alien note in our minds. In our money-mad, sex-mad, materialistic, anti-authoritarian, individualistic, anti-doctrine, celebrity-mesmerized world today, don't think there won't be many false prophets out there with their damnable heresies and pernicious ways. And be forewarned, beloved." In 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul urges strongly, "What is all important today still, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine," that is, the whole message of Scripture. "Continue in them, for in doing this you shall both save yourself and them that hear you." Another reason to take this most seriously is yet our third main point, and that is the punishment for false teachers. Did you catch this too in our text chapter? How over and over Peter makes clear what is the certain and eternal punishment for false teachers in their evil ways. Going through the chapter, verse 1, they bring upon themselves swift destruction. Their judgment is coming and their damnation slumbers not, though they and all the world think there's nothing to worry about. Verse 3. Verse 9 declares, God reserves the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. They utterly perish in their own corruption and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. Verse 12 and 13. They are cursed children to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Verse 14 and 17. All these false teachers may have known about the Lord and have been taught something of the faith, but they never really knew the Lord personally, nor walked by true faith and in union and communion with Christ. In verse 21, Peter says, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. And he means by that to have been associated with it and to have kind of outwardly adopted it without inwardly receiving it. Peter says, it had been better that they had not known it, than that they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. One study Bible note comments on this verse, quote, "Unrepentant backsliders are in the end more guilty and condemnable than those who have never made profession of Christianity in the first place." And we know, don't we, apostates from the faith, those who turn away from the Christian religion, who become false teachers and examples of pseudo, immoral, carnal Christianity, pleasing to the world and to the flesh, will have more to answer for than even the pagans of Sodom and Gomorrah, or the pagans of some people in some remote area who've never heard the gospel before. And mentioning Sodom and Gomorrah, notice too how Peter gives three clear examples of how God will surely not tolerate evil and will come in certain and eternal judgment upon evildoers, false teachers included. Peter mentions in verses 4 to 9, the example of God bringing judgment upon the angels that sinned and rebelled against him. Satan and his demons were cast out of heaven. That's followed by him telling about the divine judgment on the world in the days of Noah, with the worldwide flood destroying all except Noah and his family. And then there's told of that judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, where Peter adds how that the wicked inhabitants of those two cities, upon which were turned to ashes from the fire of heaven in God's judgment, Peter says that serves as an example unto those that should after live ungodly. So, it couldn't be more clear, could it? Let no one here fool themselves thinking you can get away with evil before God Woe to all false preachers and teachers and ministries today, and false churches and wicked organizations and false religions today, which disdain, which defy, which discredit, which twist, which deny God triune and His gospel word and His holy laws and His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, and who will not acknowledge Him as the only way and as the only truth and as the real life for us. Oh, while it's yet the day of grace, let's pray that false teachers and hypocrites and all those promoting and modeling fake Christianity and false religion come to true conversion and not have to be forever doomed under God's righteous eternal judgment. And let's examine ourselves constantly too, that we be in the faith and that we be faithful in all God's ways, in doctrine and in life, in thought, word, and deed. Will you thus respond to this sermon by God's grace? The theme of the message, and I know it's been a serious sermon, has been gospel words about false teachers, their presence, their ways, and their punishment. But they are gospel words, you know. They're gospel words that Peter gives in this chapter. For warning us about the presence of false teachers, the divine exhortation is, be on guard. And God gives us His word to help us be on guard. And teaching us truly about the evil, deceptive waves of false teachers, the divine gospel exhortation is, be discerning and ever watchful and diligent in God's ways. You know, Peter mentions Lot as such a poor example regarding this. Oh, he was yet saved, yes, but barely so, because he mixed too much with the world, much more than was good for him and his wife and his family. Further, Peter making abundantly clear the punishment of all false teachers who live and die in their corruption, the urgent divine exhortation to us is, don't be fooled. Beloved, don't be fooled. We know false teachers today that have the biggest congregations with thousands and thousands of adherents. And we're such a small group. Not that we are so good. We better keep examining ourselves too. But don't go by outward things. Go by God's word. So let me end just with now Jesus' words in Matthew 24, verse 4, 5, and 11, where He tells His followers, take heed. Let no man deceive you, for many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Paul forewarns us likewise, saying in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speak expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Beloved, don't let that be true of you and me and of our children and children's children. I'm speaking to myself as much as I am to you. Pray and work. Work and pray that we and our families and churches hold fast to the faith once for all delivered to the saints, and that we genuinely and zealously and humbly and lovingly promote the same by precept and example. God helping us till our last breaths. And He surely will help us. Yes, Peter makes that very clear, having our text chapter sandwiched between chapter 1 and chapter 3. Even Lot was saved by God's grace through faith in God's amazing mercy and persevering power. And so was Noah in the wicked times he lived. Gospel words about false teachers, their presence, their ways, and their punishment. In the words of Jeremiah 22, 29, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Amen.